I'd like to acknowledge the State Health Department and Colorado for supporting our work in recognizing that persons with mental illness are a health disparate group when it comes to tobacco use. And I also would like to acknowledge my colleagues in the audience who helped me with this work, Dr. Chad Morris and Mandy Graves, who are out there cheering me on. In 15 minutes, I'm going to try to describe briefly for you some of the unique challenges and barriers facing persons with mental illness, review quickly some of the evidence-based guidelines for tobacco cessation with this population, describe our work, how we developed a mental health provider toolkit, and talk a little bit about the dissemination of this toolkit, which I have copies of if anybody would like to look at the end of the talk tonight. And then just present some preliminary data from a randomized controlled trial that we're doing out in the mental health community. First of all, we need to realize that people with mental illness are a large part of our population. At any time, 20% of the U.S. population meets the criteria for at least major depressive disorder. And persons with mental illness, regardless of their disorder, are nicotine dependent at 2 to 3 times higher than the general population. The most staggering figure, though, is that they represent 44% of the U.S. tobacco market. They consume about 7% of they represent 7% of the general population, but consume 34% of all cigarettes smoked, and they die young. And what's really sort of heart-wrenching is they have a 20% shorter lifespan, and it's due to tobacco-related illnesses, not suicide. Just to give you some national data here, the prevalence rates across various studies show for schizophrenia and psychotic disorders, the rate of smoking is 65% to 85%, bipolar disorder 55% to 70%, major depression somewhere between 50% to 60%, and anxiety disorder somewhere between 45% and 60%. So why do persons with mental illnesses smoke more? Well, there's many different reasons. First of all, particularly for the psychotic disorders such as schizophrenia, nicotine does help with concentration, information processing, and learning. So when a person with schizophrenia does smoke a cigarette, they have some benefit from smoking. The nicotine is helping them with attention, but it's only short-lived. Also, nicotine impacts certain neurotransmitters such as dopamine, norepinephrine, and enhances mood, so it helps reduce stress briefly and also helps with depression. Additionally, nicotine and also some of the chemicals from the tobacco smoke impact psychiatric medications such as the antipsychotics and may reduce some of the medication side effects. There's a lot of barriers to tobacco cessation interventions for this population. Particularly, persons with mental illnesses suffer from a lot of stigma. Their providers are dealing with a lot of competing demands when they meet with the mental health consumer, and tobacco kind of falls off the radar of a lot of psychiatrists and other mental health providers. Also within the system, tobacco has been used as a socialization activity. If you're familiar with mental health centers, you'll see people smoking outside. It's a social activity for a lot of mental health consumers. And also it's been used as a behavioral reward in a lot of inpatient psychiatric hospitals. So patients are awarded for good behavior. They get to go outside and smoke a cigarette. Additionally, staff accept smoking, and a lot of staff in mental health institutions smoke themselves. There's also a fear in the mental health community that if somebody with schizophrenia stops smoking, their symptoms are going to get worse, and that is a myth. There's also a lack of training among providers about smoking cessation, and there's also an expectation of failure that both if a person tries to quit smoking, it's not going to work, and that expectation of failure is both by the provider and the consumer. And also other substance abuse gets in the way of tobacco cessation. So what is the evidence of what works for this population? There is some research showing that although quit rates for persons with mental illness are less than the general population, smoking cessation rates are still quite substantial. And some of the studies show up to 38% for major depression, and for schizophrenia, some of the newer literature is showing rates of 10 to 30%. The programs that work for tobacco cessation in this population usually have a cognitive behavioral therapy component coupled with nicotine replacement therapy. And there's been some work, particularly out of Australia, showing that groups of 8 to 10 individuals that meet once a week for 7 to 10 sessions do quite well in terms of smoking cessation. Also, the literature shows that the more person-to-person contact or the more intensive the intervention, the better the outcomes are. Also, individualized treatments based on diagnoses are important. And then consumer preference is important as well, because some folks do better with an individualized treatment plan rather than where they have individual sessions rather than attending group. Also, for this population, it's important to address some of the psychosocial needs that may undermine their ability to quit smoking. So you may have to provide some training around assertiveness skills, stress reduction for this population. Also, persons with mental illness, if they're on certain medications such as antipsychotic medications, they need to be closely monitored during their quit attempt because as they quit nicotine, there'll be a significant rise in their blood levels for certain medications. Also, any program needs to monitor for side effects from the medications, possibility of depression rebound, and weight gain issues. The pharmacotherapy that is supported by the American Psychiatric Society right now is nicotine replacement therapy and bupropion SR, which is also known as Zyban or Wellbutrin. Currently, folks are using varenicline or Chantix and clonidine and nortriptyline as well for smoking cessation, but the latter two have not been FDA approved. So I'm going to talk now about what we've been doing. Our group has conducted a bunch of focus groups both in 2004 and 2006. The most recent focus groups had to do with meeting with mental health providers and consumers and getting their feedback on what was needed for tobacco cessation in Colorado. Our group has also done some prevalence studies looking at tobacco rate or tobacco prevalence among different populations, and we recently developed a mental health provider toolkit, a wellness manual. We're conducting a study, and we're looking at developing peer-to-peer interventions and working in primary care settings and other health disparities groups. So we're doing a lot of different things right now. This is our toolkit, and I have a copy of it here, which you're welcome to look at. It has the evidence-based guidelines for tobacco cessation for this population, special considerations for this population, relapse prevention, a literature review, and the data we collected from focus groups by providers and consumers was incorporated into this book. So we took their feedback and used it. Our current study is a three-arm study. We're looking at a quitline intervention by itself, a quitline intervention with a wellness group at the same time, and then a quitline intervention followed by a wellness group. And we have 3-month data at this point. The wellness groups, just so you know, are about 10 sessions long. We really focus on increasing people's strengths. It's a strength-based approach. We look at how we also have some psychoeducation. We look at building self-confidence. We help them create supportive relationships. We also help them deal with negative feelings while they're quitting and focus on healthy exercise and diet, healthy lifestyle, and then relapse prevention. And some of our study measures right now include the Fagerstrom test for nicotine dependence, self-report of nicotine use, or smoking, and we do have an objective measure. We're using a CO monitor. We also are looking at psychiatric symptoms, depressive symptoms, physical health, and mental health functioning. We're also going to do a chart review looking at their pharmacotherapy, and also we're looking at motivational stage of change and self-efficacy. And our preliminary outcomes, we're showing that a significant decrease at 3 months across all of our interventions right now. So the average person, on average, people have dropped 6 cigarettes a day at 3 months. And we're showing a lower score on the Fagerstrom test of tobacco dependence. And we're also not showing an increase in psychiatric symptoms. We're actually showing a decrease right now over time. And so the next steps for our group are to collect 6 and 12-month data and look at the quitline data we've collected and review our medical chart data, determine quit rates, and then expand the model to additional Colorado sites and additional populations. And that's all. Thank you.